Hello. You are listening to the Carol Connection. With your host, Jared Carol.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Carol Connection. I'm your host, Jared Carol, here to bring you guys another great episode. So I wanted to take a chance to shout out last week's episode, episode 26 with Brent Rebello. That was a fun episode to do because Brent talked about how his mom and his family adopted some children into his household and how that was dealing with different cultures and talking about working in the family business of construction and why he joined the U.S. Army National Guard. It was just a really fun episode. So if you haven't checked that out, please check that out. The carolconnection.simplecast.com or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the major listening platforms. But today, I'm here with another great guest by the name of Steve Mortensen. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Glad you can make it out here and we can do this episode. So I want you to kind of just tell everyone who you are and what you've been up to.
Yeah. So my name is Steve Mortensen, as you were told, and I am the best barber in Rhode Island. Self-claiming, obviously. But yeah, I've done a lot of public speaking in the foster care section of life, and I've done a lot of different things dealing with mental health, and yeah, that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, so let's kind of just dive into it. So, I mean, I think the first thing we want to talk about was foster care. So I want to dive into that.
Yeah, so I actually got into foster care a lot later in my life than I would have liked. I grew up in about five or six different states. I was born in West Virginia. I was raised in Kansas, Texas, Pennsylvania. I lived in a semi-truck for a little bit, and then I finally made it up to Massachusetts. Every state, you know, I had a lot of stuff going on. I had very abusive parents, and I had a very neglectful family through all of those states. And, you know, cops were called a lot, and, you know, so every time a cop was called, we ended up moving, and that's how I ended up making it all the way up here. And I definitely got a shout out Massachusetts for their foster care program, because they pick up a lot of things that I can honestly say from experience, a lot of other states miss it, or they call it corporal punishment.
That is really, like, crazy to hear that story, too, because obviously I've known you for a decent amount of time, too, but to hear you say some of the stuff about foster care, like, diving into it a little bit deeper, too, like, do you have a lot of these crazy experiences and memories from when you were a little bit younger going through this foster care? Like, at what age did you go into foster care?
So I actually got into foster care, I was about 13. But I wouldn't even say the crazy experiences were from foster care. It was actually from my life before foster care. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because a lot of the times when me and my dad would get into a fight, he would tell me that I could just pick up the phone and, you know, call DCF and they'd come get me. And, you know, I'd be raped, molested, beaten in foster care. And, you know, so I always had the stigma about foster care growing up, and I was always scared to try to purge myself of my parents. And honestly, foster care was the best thing that ever happened to me. Every home I went to, they were very kind. Actually, the first home I got put into was an emergency foster home, and they had a bunch of special needs children because they adopted the special needs children, and the other kids who weren't special needs kind of just went through looking for a different home. And I mean, that's basically where I learned everything about, well, I can't say everything, but I learned a lot about autism and, you know, Down syndrome and a lot of those other different spectrum disorders. And yeah, it's actually helped me as a father, but we'll talk about that a little more later. But yeah, I mean, I've had some of the best experiences I've ever had in foster care and some of the worst experiences I've ever had outside of foster care. So I definitely wouldn't agree with what a lot of people say about foster care. I think they just do that to scare their children into not reporting them as bad people.
What were some of the stereotypes that you would hear from other people, like especially as you got older, from like maybe other kids or something, about being a foster care?
A lot of people actually didn't like me right out of the gate because they just assumed that foster kids are dicks and, you know, that they don't want to listen to anybody, and it couldn't be further from the truth. What you see generally happening is a cry for help, but obviously it doesn't come in the self-reflecting, you know, I need help. It comes from, you know, the kid acting out a little bit. And I mean, we've seen countless movies and countless books are written on people who were extremely mentally troubled, and then it took one person to kind of reach out to them, and then those people have become some of the greatest minds we've ever seen. So I think one of the biggest stereotypes is that foster kids are just dicks because the wonderful Wizard of Oz. And you know, there's more that stems from that.
No, definitely. And I definitely appreciate you talking about the stereotypes, because I've never really been exposed to that type of stuff too. I talked a little bit last week with Brent about them adopting outside of the country. So, I mean, that's a totally different topic too, but like somewhat similar in the sense of just adopting and talking about that. But what were some of the, how many different homes did you actually live in during foster care?
Oh man, there was quite a few, between Fall River, Swansea, and Seekonk. I'd say I was in about 10 different homes. Some were extremely quick. Some were just to rest my head for the night. The Swansea home I went to was a great home. It was a young couple. They had young kids. And unfortunately, I ran into one of my first big problems because I was going through a vulnerable time in my life. And, you know, just a young male who, you know, who likes to, maybe wants to see some things and do some things. And you got young kids in the house. And I actually got kicked out of that house because I tried to order some porn on the TV. And I said it wasn't me. And they're like, okay, so was it our 7-year-old or our 3-year-old? And I was like, okay.
Yeah, can't really cover that one.
it might have been me.
Yo, that shit fucking hilarious. But like, obviously, as you got older too, like, was there a specific home that you landed into that was like the stable home for you going forward too?
Absolutely. When I got to Seekonk, actually, and it was weird how this one happened, because I was in the process of being kicked out of my Swansea home, and they told me that I was going to go stay the night at a home in Seekonk. And so I get to this house, which is basically going into Rehoboth, boondock country, and we get out there. I get dropped off with these people called the Hortons, a very popular family in Seekonk that I didn't know at the time. And, you know, there's this big white house with candles in all the windows, 3 different levels, and it's sitting on some farm property. And the first time I get there, my now Uncle Walter comes over and he says, you know, we got to muck the stalls because there's a bunch of horse shit in the stalls. And this was my first day at this house. And I'm like, oh, great. First day I'm here, I got to do manual labor mucking some horse shit. And, you know, we get down there and get the job done pretty quick. And then Uncle Walter pulls me in close, and then he slips me a 20 in my front pocket, kind of like that weird way that all older generations try to slip you some money without your parents knowing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a drug deal, but they don't get the drugs.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what we ended up doing. And he says, you know, my name's Uncle Walter. And I mean, right from then, I felt a sense of family that I had never felt before, even though I was standing in about a foot of horse shit, you know, out in a farm country. And you know, I stayed a night or two with them, and I decided I wasn't going anywhere else. And from then on, you know, I call him my dad, but Daniel Horton sat me down and he said, the 2 things I expect from you at all times is honesty and communication. And as long as we have that, you know, you'll be allowed to live here, and, you know, we'll take you in as one of our own. And, yeah, it's pretty much been like that ever since. But I moved in there when, it must have been, sophomore year. So I was probably about 15 years old by the time I finally made it to the Hortons. And then at that time, I was actually going to Bristol Aggie, which I was not suited for that school whatsoever. And I got to say right now, the people who go to that school and the people who run that school are absolute saints as well, because I was a kid who was going there while I was being abused, so I was acting out then, and then I got into foster care, so I was a dog off my leash, I got into foster care, dog off the leash, and yeah, I was doing some outlandish shit at that school, and I did not belong there, and yeah, so I mean, if any teachers managed to catch this, I'm sorry.
I think it was really amazing of you to say that when you got to the Horton's house, that the main 2 principles basically were honesty and communication. And that ties to life in general. Like, that's a huge principle in my own life, is like, as long as you're honest with me and you communicate the way you feel or like how you're feeling or what's going on in your life, you always have a spot in my life. Mm-hmm. And like that resonates with me. That really does. Cause like those two things are huge pillars in anyone's life. If you can't be honest with someone, like, honestly, just get the fuck out of my face. Like, I don't want to deal with someone who's not going to tell me the truth. Like, I don't care if it's going to hurt my feelings too. Like, it's one of those things. Like, I want you to be fucking honest with me. Tell me the truth and tell me where you're coming from and what's going on. Cause like, if you can't communicate that to me, there's nothing there. Like, there's no point. There's no trust. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what he's kind of talking about. Was just like, if you can't be honest and you can't communicate, there's going to be no trust and you can't stay here. Mm-hmm. And I think that was important for you to like accept too, especially at such a crucial age in your life. Like, talked a little bit about that, like going into high school, like transferring from school to school, but especially high school, like that's such a big time in people's lives growing up. And like, there's so much going on, which is like puberty and like all this other shit, like the high school drama and all that crap. So like, how did you manage to deal with that?
So, it was actually, I would say it was easier for me than probably most people, because before I ever got into foster care, like I said, I had moved state to state, and I don't know if you've ever traveled around the United States, but, you know, different regions that you go, it's like being in a whole different country, and you're dealing with whole mm-hmm. different people. And my whole life growing up was basically trying to be a chameleon so I could adopt certain things that certain groups were doing so that I could fit in with them better. Because I was basically grounded, like, from the age of 9 to 13. So I was a very weird kid, because I didn't know how to really communicate with people. So it was easy to kind of move to a high school, because I had already been to a couple elementary schools, I had already been to a couple middle schools, and I was even homeschooled when I was living in a semi-truck with my parents. So basically, I became an everybody type of person, and it was very weird for my dad to hear, well, so my foster dad, so we can keep things straight, it was very weird to hear from him that he needed honesty and communication, because my whole life was me not being honest. It was me being somebody that I wasn't, and I just kept changing for every group that I tried to talk to, because I wasn't what they wanted. So I became what they wanted, and then, you know, that's how I kind of started becoming a little more popular, and then, you know, went to another school and realized I didn't want to be popular, so I started hanging out with the nerds, and then by the time I got to CCONC, like, I pretty much was just like a, you know, a jack of all trades, master of none, so I kind of didn't really fit in with everybody, I didn't fit in with anybody, so I tried to fit in with everybody, and that actually worked out really well for me, because I feel like that's what my personality is, and it works out really well for me as a barber. Because I don't prescribe to anything too specific. You know, I have a little bit of leniency. I have my likes and my dislikes, but I can see where other people are coming from, because I've walked in a lot of other people's shoes, and because I was too afraid to walk in my own.
I think that's really important to acknowledge too. And the experience that you've gained too, from talking about and going through that challenge of trying to be that chameleon and try to be what people want you to be. And that's what a lot of people in this life do, is they try to be something that they're not, or something that they think that people want them to be, mm-hmm. and instead of being them true selves. And it sounds like as you got to CCONC, that's when you started really becoming more of your true self, becoming who you're meant to be. Obviously, we're still in life. We're still growing and still becoming who we're destined to be, and are chasing our purpose. And it's just so important to say that and talk about that, because I think a lot of people do struggle with that and trying to figure out who they really are. And like, there's so many, like, you see it all the time, is everyone's trying, especially social media, people are trying to be something that they're not. They're trying to fit in with different crowds and please different people. And especially this younger generation, it's really tough for them, because like, it's all they've known. Like, at least someone like me and you, where we came up, like, social media wasn't a thing. And like, as we got older, that's when like the MySpaces and then Facebook started coming on the scene, all that other bullshit, AIM, like all that crap. And then we kind of had the opportunity to have technology to a degree, but it wasn't really a big thing until we were later on to our teen years and as we were growing older. So we had some of the development period to not see that stuff all the time. Like, these kids are growing up and that's all they see. Mm-hmm. Parents hand you an iPad at the age of like fucking like 2 or 3, and like, you're just like, you figure it out.
Yeah, shit, guilty, to be honest.
But I can understand. I can understand though. Like, I can definitely understand why it's very popular, and there's a lot of educational purposes too for that too, mm-hmm. at the same time. So 100%. Not knocking technology. Mm. But transitioning a little bit too, obviously after high school, what was your plan after high school? Because obviously we haven't really talked, we talked a little bit before the podcast about the Army and things like that. So was that always kind of like your go-to as you were leaving high school?
Absolutely not. I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I was scared of not knowing, and I didn't want to get kicked out of my house at the time. So I tried going to BCC for criminal justice, which is always something I wanted to do, but I didn't have a set plan, and I didn't do any real self-reflection before this point. Like, all of my self-reflection actually came after the Army, and what it really taught me was I was a piece of shit. Like, I sucked as a person because I wasn't being my true self, and I wasn't, you know, rocking with my likes and my dislikes. I was rocking with other people's likes and dislikes, and I didn't really like myself much. So I went through a little bit of a drug phase, and you know, I tried almost everything under the sun. Thankfully, there was a couple things that I managed to skip. But yeah, I mean, I actually went through a period of like self-hating because I didn't know who I was, and you know, a lot of my personality actually came from movies and TV shows because, like I said, I was grounded for a long time. So by the time I got my own freedom, I didn't really know how to act around people, and I was really shy. So I would watch movies, and you know, I would become like the hero in the movie, or the, you know, take pieces of the villain in the movie. And then one thing I never really saw was a lot of people in movies are going through some type of mental health thing. And, you know, that's what makes them, you know, maybe a little more blunt than your average person, or, you know, maybe a little more reserved than your average person. So I was kind of doing those things, and I was reflecting those characters, but it wasn't even my true self until, you know, I kind of just stopped doing all of that. And I was like, you know, what do I like? What do I not like? You know, what can I appreciate? What do I respect? And it was hard for me because, like I said, I mean, I looked inward and all I could see was absolute darkness. Like, I was a dick. And, you know, my wife can tell you that better than anybody else. You know, I treated her like shit for a very long time until I managed to get my head unwedged out of my ass. And, you know, she's witnessed a lot of my dark side. And, you know, I'm just extremely lucky that she's still here because, you know, if there was going to be anything that could scare somebody away, it was definitely some of the moments I've had through, I'm not going to say the last few years because I've had some pretty great years since having my kids and stuff. But, I mean, definitely in the early game, I mean, we started dating junior year of high school. So you just heard what, like, the ending of high school and shortly after high school was like. And she was there during all of it. And, you know, so she's seen every side of the moon that I got, and she, you know, she's still here, which is amazing because I've had nothing but good people in my life. Even though I've tried to push people away because I was scared of getting close, or you know, this or that, you know, it kind of it's kind of good for me to see things like that because it actually let me open up and become myself. And you know, the people who were there for me through all my bullshit, they've been even stronger people in my corner ever since I managed to actually open up to who I actually was.
You can see it too. I mean, the way you're talking about things, you're very vulnerable and like you're very self-reflecting, and like it shows like you've done a lot of the work to get to this point because you've gone through a lot of fucking shit, like, and you've done a lot of the unpacking already, and it's a constant unpacking thing. Like, that's something that I've learned by just being in therapy, like acknowledging things that have happened, accepting those things, and like you don't have to let those go forever because like that made you who you were. Like, it's a reason that it's there, and like every experience that we have is valid, and like it leads you to where we're meant to be in this life. And without those experiences, we aren't the people who we are today, and it's important to acknowledge that. And it really shows too the way you talk about things, and like we're still early in this episode, there's still so much to talk about. And you can tell, at least I can tell, just by sitting here and listening to just the things we talked about, the growth in the way you talk about these things. And there's not a lot of people in this world that can do that and acknowledge these things that they've gone through. Like you said, talking about being a chameleon, talking about the relationships that you had, whether it was with family, like your foster family, like your wife, like how you used to treat them and push people away. And like, that's not who you are now too. And like, the fact that you said, that's what I used to be. I used to be a dick. Like, I wasn't a good person. And I don't know if I've acknowledged that on the podcast, but I think I have. But I've talked about back a few years ago, I was not a good person. I was hurt. I was just did not know what the fuck I wanted to do. And I just didn't care about nobody but myself. And it was arrogant, it was ignorant, and I had to go through my own process, and I had to go through that stage to understand who I wanted to be and who I'm becoming now. Someone who's more positive, who's more driven, who's more honest, who can communicate. And that's something that you are. You're very honest, you're very good at communicating, you're down to earth, you're vulnerable, and like, that's why we can have this conversation, and that's why we relate so well. But talking more about the Army, could you please go into a little bit more detail with like that experience too, and like, did your wife have any play in that too, like that decision of you to go there at all?
No, she didn't. I actually, you know, I made that decision without anybody's, you know, knowledge. I kind of just signed up and, you know, told everybody I was going, and that was that. But I mean, she stayed with me while I was in boot camp. You know, I was getting letters from her all the time. She actually showed up to my graduation with my dad and my grandmother. And my real mom actually showed up, and she was never a piece in my life, so that was another awkward thing. But yeah, I mean, I ended up even breaking up with Jen while I was in the Army, because it was such a low point in my life, you know, because I didn't really even want to be in the Army. Like, I enjoyed it, you know, and I'm glad I did it, and they taught me a lot. But I mean, at that point, I mean, I didn't even want to be there. I didn't know where I wanted to be in life, and it was kind of just weighing on me, because it was like, am I just going to be this piece of shit who's just wandering aimlessly through life until, you know, I either die or, you know, something magically happens? And that something magically happening, honestly, was getting kicked out of the Army. It was the best thing to ever happen to me, because everything that's happened since has been, you know, an absolute godsend. And, you know, I wouldn't trade any of it for anything. You know, sure, I wish I could have been in the Army a little bit longer. I only got in trouble once, and that was the ticket to getting out. But, you know, I'm really happy I got out when I did, because, like I said, everything that happened after, shortly after, too, you know, it's exactly what I needed to have happen to get to where I'm at now. Because, like I said, all the self-reflection came after the Army. And it came from, like, basically a whole organization of people telling me, hey, you're a piece of shit, figure your shit out, and we don't want you, you know, to coming back home, you know, hanging my head low, because obviously everybody, you know, is going to know I got kicked out. And that was another thing I had to go through, like, just dealing with the shame of that. But, I mean, I, you know, quickly ended up making a life for myself. Like, I got back with my now wife, and, you know, she got pregnant shortly after that. So, I mean, I really had to get the ball rolling on what I was going to do with my life, because there was no way I was going to raise a child in, you know, either a broken home or a home where, you know, he could be abused. He or she at the time, I didn't know. But, you know, I was going to be damned if I had abused or neglected my kid at all. But at the same time, I didn't have any of, like, the coping skills that I needed. I didn't have a nurture side of me. I just had a military side. You do what I say when I say. And, you know, if you don't, there's going to be consequences. And luckily enough for me, my son... And this is going to sound weird when I say it, and I'm going to put a lot of context to it. But luckily enough for me, my son came out, and, you know, before the age of 3, we found out he was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. And, you know, that kind of tied back to my first foster house, you know, all the things I learned about special needs. But when he was born, I mean, there was so much more that I was just... well, I can't say when he was born, but when he was diagnosed, there was a lot of things that, you know, I had to learn, and empathy was one of them. And mm-hmm. I think sitting here now, empathy is the hardest thing I've ever had to learn in my life. I'll take an M4 apart, blindfolded behind my back 20 times before I would go through trying to learn empathy again. Because, I mean, I grew up without a real mother my whole life, and I believe that that's where empathy truly stems from. And I'm not going to say it's just everybody's mother, because some mothers have to wear the pants and some fathers are empathetic, just like my foster family. You know, the old man is the empathetic one. He's the big softy. And, you know, Mama Horton, she's the one that wears the pants. And, you know, so I never had that, like, loving, nurturing training, you know, from my childhood or anything like that. So it was very hard, A, to give that to a child, and B, to give that to a child with special needs.
That's something I can relate to. Like, in my family, my brother was diagnosed with autism very early on, and, like, it was definitely challenging, and, like, especially as, like, a brother, to, like, comprehend that too, because I had never really been around special needs children, and, like, to understand that, like, I mean, even to this day, that's my brother. Like, this is, like, Like, I even say that about my half-brother. Like, he's not my half-brother. That's my fucking brother. Like, I don't see there's anything wrong with him. Like, and that's something that, like, people ask about, like, oh, what's wrong with him? Like, there's nothing fucking wrong with him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's normal, just like you and me. Mm-hmm. Just, like, he has different things that he's going to have to go through in life. And, like, there's nothing wrong with that. And, like, it's just an understanding to, like, for people to really, like, it's one, it's just, like, a lack of, like, lack of knowledge about special needs and autism in general. I think now in 2020, there's way more, like, not, what's the word I'm looking for? Because hype is not the word. The fuck is the word?
Awareness.
Awareness. There we go. Yep. Thank you. There's a lot more awareness around autism in general and, like, on the spectrum and, like, Down syndrome. And, like, there's a lot of places, like, schools do a pretty fantastic job. At least, I know CCONC did a really fantastic job.
CCONC's one of the top schools for IEPs.
They did a fantastic job. And my brother graduated, like, has a job now, like, functioning member of society. So, like, you wouldn't even know that he was diagnosed with autism. Like, and that's the thing that people don't understand about autism is, like, there's so many different places on the spectrum where children can lie and as they go through. Because some people, it's very, like, it's a really big disability where they can't, like, function as themselves, by themselves. And going forward, they're always going to need someone. And then there's people who are very high functioning and, like, can be active members of society, drive, work, go to college. Like, there's so many different parts to that. And that's what I think confuses a lot of people, because they're like, well, how can there be so many different things? But there are. And that just comes with looking into things, understanding that. And I wish they would teach you more, too, as we were in school about, not just mental health, definitely mental health, but special needs in general, autism. Like, I wish they had, like, some class or, like, especially when you're younger, to, like, talk about these things, because they don't teach you these things when you're a kid. You just see these kids and they're just get pointed out that they're different than you. They have different teachers, they have different classrooms, that those are the different kids.
I mean, I'll be real, in school, you get a lot of those kids that are like, oh, that's a retarded class.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, that's for real. It is what it is. Like, all kids have gone through it. A lot of people on your podcast are gonna, you know, they've heard it. They've probably said it, and I've said it too. I'll be totally real with you guys. Like, I've definitely been like, oh, they're the retards, and you know, don't feel good about it, especially for the fact that, you know, I have a special needs son myself. But it's kind of weird because my wife and I will kind of talk about his autism now, and it might be a little selfish of us, but at the same time, we tell each other, like, I wouldn't change Austin. Like, if he had to be born again, if we went back in time, would we make it to where he didn't have autism? And to be completely honest with you, I would say no, because I think my son is one of the coolest cats on the face of the planet. Above and beyond the fact that he has autism, you know, and I'm just saying it because he's my kid, like, that ain't it at all. He is literally one of the coolest people I've ever met in my life. And he is the nicest kid I have ever met. You know, he's a stickler for the rules. You know, he doesn't like sarcasm, which is basically all I do is speak sarcastically.
Same thing with my brother. He just doesn't get the sarcasm. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's something that is tied to autism. Like, not the understanding of that type of sarcasm. Like, it just goes over the head. They just don't get it.
I mean, there's been times where he's picked something up that was super heavy, and I'm like, oh, man, you're a beast. And he goes, I'm not a beast. I'm your son. And I'm like, I know.
Those moments are so funny, though. Mm-hmm. It's, like, adorable, though, at the same time. Like, one thing, too, what I really, like, value in my brother, too, is, like, he just does not give a fuck what you think. Mm-hmm. He does not care. Like, he right now he has, like, really long hair and stuff, and I'm like, you should, like, cut it this way and that way. And he's like, I don't care what people think. Like, I'm gonna rock this the way I want to rock this. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm, like, envious that he has that, like, that trait in him, that ability to literally look at people and just, like, okay, that's what you think, cool, bye. Like, just doesn't care. Like,
I think we could all learn from that.
Yeah, like, I think we all could definitely get something from that, because I think there's so many of us hold on to the opinion of other people, and, like, you grip it and you squeeze it and you just want to, like, oh, I just care so much about what they think about me. And that's something in my own life that I've had to kind of, like, recognize. I'm like, stop caring what people fucking think, dude. Like, mm-hmm. Who gives a fuck what fucking Johnny B from fucking high school says about you on fucking Facebook or Instagram? Like, fuck that person. All you care about, should care about, is your opinion, and you should take into consideration of people who you love. Mm-hmm. I think that's important to acknowledge, because people are always preaching just, like, don't listen to anyone else, just listen to yourself, which is definitely an important thing to do, but I think it's always important to at least acknowledge you should definitely take into consideration of people that you actually love and, like, who are in your life, and your decisions are going to affect other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, people always say self-love is selfish and it's okay to be selfish, which I agree to an extent. I think there's a line that needs to be drawn because I think people are going above and beyond that idea of self-love, and, like, it's becoming very too selfish in our culture. And our culture is becoming very selfish. And it's good to be selfish in certain aspects, but where I lie is, like, I want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
But to help people, I need to be my best self. And to be your best self, you have to be selfish. And that's where people fuck up, is they'll be their best self and then continue just to be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you can't do that. And that's tying back to the idea of just, like, not caring what people think. But talking, obviously, what's been the biggest positive impact that having your two children has been onto your life since becoming, like, a father?
Honestly, I haven't, having my two kids, like I said, I would still put it in the realm of empathy. I mean, the way I can look at people and understand people now is not just of in a way of, like, oh, I've been there. It's in a way of, like, I can understand what you're going through. I can understand times are tough. You know, I can understand these things now. I'm not just like, stop being a baby and get the fuck over it. Because that's how I used to be. You know, if you're bitching, you're crying, you're whining, you're a baby. Get the fuck over it. Move on. You know, man up, as a lot of people would say. Mm. But ever since then, like, I've managed to look at things a lot differently. And a lot of, you know, that's called a paradigm shift. So the best story I've heard about that is there was a man on a train and he had three kids with him, and those kids were sitting on the car across from him, and they were jumping on the seat and they were going all crazy and they were being loud, and everybody on the train started to get a little annoyed with this man because he wasn't controlling his kids, and he had his face in his hands the whole time. And finally, one of the old ladies who was sitting near him, she leans over to him and he says, excuse me, but everybody's kind of getting annoyed with your kids because they're going kind of crazy. Like, if you could kind of control them, that would be nice. And he looks up for the first time from his hands, and he's got tears streaming down his face, and he looks at his kids going all wild, and he says, oh, I'm sorry, man, but these kids just lost their wife, their mother, my wife, a couple hours ago, and we're just trying to figure out how to move on from that. And when everybody on the train heard that, nobody was upset with this man anymore. Nobody was upset with these children anymore, because all they could see was just pure grief happening. And all they wanted to do was help these people because they had a little bit more understanding of a situation that he was dealing with. And it was no longer he was a bad parent with bad kids. He was just trying to figure out how to move on from something that most people will never understand in their lives.
That's such a great story to point out to understand empathy, and, like, that's something I preach on this podcast, and it's something that I've picked up on and becoming better at by doing this podcast and interviewing people and talking to so many different people that are in my life. Is just understanding where you come from helps me be a better person, because the things that you've gone through, I've never experienced in my own life. So to hear you talk about them and see how you've overcome a lot of these struggles that you've had in your own life helps me better understand you as a person, for one, builds us a stronger relationship and connection moving forward, and two, that takes me to a place where now if I ever encounter someone who's, one, been in foster care, or two, like, has, like, been kicked out of the military or something like that, or, like, dealt with, like, having an autistic son, and, like, I had an autistic brother, so, like, I really relate with you on that, and, like, dealing with that, and, like, the fears that come with that. So, like, it's empathy. It's understanding where people fucking come from. Like, I don't get why people in this fucking world just don't try to do that, especially with everything that is going on, like, whether it's COVID, Black Lives Matter, all these things. Like, why can't we just sit down and have an honest conversation about, hey, where do you come from? This is where I'm coming from. Let's try to understand each other and make this place better than what it is. Like, and I think we're doing a better job at that, because I think a lot of the pressure is coming from this younger generation, us. Like, we're pushing forward, we're questioning the norms that people have lived for so fucking long, and, like, we're just sick of that shit. We're sick of this, like, standard way of living, and this is the way you gotta live, and, like, people are sick of that, and, like, people are tired of being told what to do, and, like, you gotta go get the 9-to-5 job, and you gotta live this fucking stereotypic fucking life, and, like, no one wants to fucking do that. There's so many miserable goddamn people in this world. We just want to be happy. People want to be doing the things that they want to do and love. And that ties into pursuing your passions, being more open and honest with your feelings, loving yourself, loving others, helping others. Like, we're in such a weird time right now where, like, you could feel that switch to that too a little bit. And it's just tying back to understanding people. Mm-hmm. It is so important to try to understand someone. Like, I will preach and preach and preach on this podcast about that. And a lot of stuff we're doing too is feeling your feelings. I say it all the fucking time. Feel your feelings. That is my fucking motto. It is on my goddamn Instagram. Like, I will live and die by that shit. Like, if you can't feel the way you're feeling and express that and understand that emotion and then take that and either cope with it and apply it and move on or whatever you need to do with it, then you're going to struggle with every aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. And that's important too. I did want to ask this too. What's been the hardest thing about becoming a parent? Because, like, I don't have kids or anything. So, like, I think that'd be kind of good advice or a good thing to hear as someone who doesn't have kids.
Not sleeping for the first couple months. No, I think the hardest part about having a kid, honestly, is trying to set them up for success because, you know, there's still a lot of selfish things that I do as a parent and early as a parent, honestly. I smoke weed and... there would be certain times where maybe I was trying to smoke and one of my kids would start crying and I would get upset with them crying because I didn't get to smoke anymore. And then I would have to notice that as like as a very selfish behavior. Mm. So I had to learn to cope with other beings that needed my help, my assistance, and putting my own selfish needs aside. Even though, you know, I got a little bit upset about it. I think that is definitely like, one of the biggest things is getting out of your own fucking way and realizing that you're no longer as important as you were before you had those kids. Before you have kids is really the only time in your life where you should really get a pass for being very selfish because, you know, you're trying to grow as a person. You're trying to learn. You're trying to figure your own way out from your own childhood, from, you know, being a baby. Mm-hmm. And then you have your own babies. And that's the point where you kind of got to start getting your head out of your ass. Because if you don't, these kids are going to get older and they're just going to mirror your piece of shit behaviors. And they're going to be bad to their spouse. They're going to be bad to their kids. And then it's up to somebody to break that chain. And unfortunately, that's what I had to do. And, learning all this empathy and having kids and stuff has kind of made me look back at my parents and the life I had. And kind of try to be more empathetic and understanding of their lives that they came from. And just realizing they weren't strong enough to break that cycle. And not everybody is. There's a lot of people who can't. And there's a lot of people who aren't willing to have that conversation with themselves. And they can't break the cycle. And they just continue it. And, you know, they'll get into drugs, alcohol, and kind of start to try to get away from themselves. And, you know... Unfortunately, their kids are going to suffer for it. So I would say be as selfish as you want before you have kids, because once you have kids, there's not shit that has to do with you anymore, right? Your birthdays don't matter. Your anniversaries don't really matter. Like, that's just you celebrating a little shit about your own life. But the only thing that matters once you have kids is your kids. And, if you get to stay with your spouse or a loved one, I would say, you know, you put them right up there with your kids. Because you should not matter that much anymore because your spouse and your kids will make you matter to them.
I like what you're saying there too. And that's, I think that's really important too. And I love what you said about breaking that cycle. That's something I've really like noticed too, is like, especially related to traumas and things like that. And like, they say that trauma can be passed down to generation to generation. And like, I've been seeing shit on Instagram recently and I've shared it too. Like, if trauma can be passed down, so can healing. Healing can be passed down too. So if we can take the chance to acknowledge our own traumas and heal them, not just acknowledge them, but heal them, our kids will notice that. And then they'll pick up on that and try to be more, hopefully they'll be more positive people. And like, you teach them those values, because obviously experiences do matter in life. And sometimes you have to let your kids fail. And that's something that society is noticing, where we had a period, and we're still kind of in that period where we're not letting our kids fail so much. We're trying to baby them too much and like prevent them from feeling all that negative stuff. And like, I can understand that and I can relate to that as a parent. Well, not as a parent, but like, I can relate to parents that feel that way. They don't want to see their kids hurting, to lose, to like fail at life or fail at a test or whatever. They don't want to see their kids that way. But like, you need to, because those experiences are what's going to make that child better. Like, you see it all the time. Like, even athletes talk about it. Losing is what made them a winner. If you didn't have those failures in life, you would never get to where you need to get to in life. And we can't allow our children to not fail at things. Like, failure, we got to teach them that failure is good. It's like, failure is where you're going to learn the most. You don't learn the most when you're on top and you're winning. You learn the most when you're losing and you're in the dirt and you're in the gutter. Like, you're at the bottom. Like, that's when you're going to learn. That's when you're going to learn a lot. And switching a little bit of a gear too. Obviously, once you had kids too, that you had to support them. So switch towards career. And obviously, it's something you're very passionate about. And like you talked about earlier, you're the best in Rhode Island, you say. So like, talk a little bit more about barbering and why that's kind of become like your passion too.
So I'll be real with you, man. I lucked out hard when it comes to barbering. And so my idea of barbering when I got into it was, I got home from the Army and I took a year off, and I had a car accident and I was all popped up on perks at the time. And, one of my buddies ended up, telling me, he's like, listen, you know, I'm kind of into barbering, you know, I like cutting hair. And he's like, I know you always shaved your head up in your house, you know, during high school and whatnot. So he's like, how about we go to barber school together? I was like, you know what, man? You're right. And at that time, I had actually signed myself back into DCF custody, because you could be into DCF custody until you were 22 years old. And I think I was about 19, 20 at the time. And I was like, yeah, you know, that kind of sounds like fun. So I go to my social worker, and one of the requirements for you to be able to stay in foster care until you're 22 is you have to either get a job or you have to go to school. So I told my foster care worker, I said, listen, you know, I want to go to school and I want to go to barber school. And he said, awesome, we can do that. So I go to Fall River, get put in Rob Roy Academy, and, you know, I'm trying to section hair on a mannequin and things aren't going good, but I got to keep my head down because I got a kid now and I got to provide for him. And, you know, going through school at the time, and I mean, my wife, who, you know, I can't say enough about, I mean, she's an absolute killer. She ended up, you know, supporting me while I went to school. You know, she's worked at Dunkin'. That's been her whole career, was working at Dunkin'. But, you know, I'll be damned. Like, when we needed that money, it came through. And, you know, so I can't shout her out enough. But, yeah, so get into barber school, and I'm trying to support a kid, and we're living at this raggedy-looking apartment thing that's on my dad's property. It used to be an old farmhand house. And, you know, we're not paying rent at the time, and we're trying to pay a couple phone bills. And then one of the reasons I also ended up picking up barbering is because she got pregnant at the time. And I knew that a pregnancy is 9 to 10 months, and you can finish barber school in 10 to 12 months. So I was like, you know, math. You know, there you go. Boom. I can get a career cutting hair. And like I said, when I first got into it, I didn't know if I was going to like it or what. And I was trying to section long hair on a mannequin, and I didn't like that. And finally, they put us out on the floor. And I was like, you know what? If I'm going to do this job, I got to do it to the best of my ability. Like, I got to go as hard as I can, because there's no other direction I can go in. I can't just be like, you know what? Maybe I'll work at McDonald's and try to backtrack from there, because that'll discount everything my wife did. That'll discount everything I did. So I kept pushing through, and, you know, every haircut that walked up, you know, they're like, you know, can you cut a faux hawk? Can you cut a high skin fade, you know, with a comb over? And I was like, oh yeah, I can cut a high skin fade with a comb over. You know, I've never put clippers to another person's head in my life. And I'm like, psh, I can do a faux hawk. Done. Let's get it. I jacked up so many heads in Fall River, Mass. I cannot apologize enough. But that's how I learned, you know, as Jared was saying, like, you know, you learn by fucking up. I fucked up a lot, like a lot. And that's how I managed to become, you know, as I would like to consider, the best barber in Rhode Island, was jacking up a lot of heads in Massachusetts. So thank you, Mass, for that.
I think what I really like, too, about the way you do barbering is, like, you're creating a brand for yourself, too, which is, like, I think so important to people in any field, is creating a personal brand. Like, I mean, I'm doing that right here. The Cow Connection is my brand. Like, that is me. Like, this is my podcast, and this brand is hopefully what's going to take me places, and I'm going to push it. And, like, I'm so big on that. And, like, I like the way you do your Instagram and the way you promote yourself, too, and the way you post your videos. And you're doing TikTok for a little bit. I'm big on TikTok. I've talked about that before. But for your own brand in Frank and Fades, what kind of led you to kind of create that?
So there was a couple things that I kind of got into. So I've always been a fan of the old school horror shows. You know, you got Dracula, Frankenstein, and all that. And he was always such a strong character. You know, I basically, all the states that I've lived in, all the different people I've learned from, it kind of just, to me, it was like, you know, Frankenstein's body coming together. He had different arms, he had different legs, you know, he had a couple hearts, like, he was built into this man, and there was a spark that gave him life. And I felt like that was kind of indicative of what I was doing at the time, or what I was trying to do, is I was trying to give this person who was created from a bunch of different backgrounds a spark of life, the breath of life. I was trying to give him that. And, you know, so I also thought, you know, I can't make it Frankenstein, but what am I doing? I'm giving fades. All right, Frankenfades. And that sounded like it should already be a thing. So, you know, I researched it for a long time, making sure it wasn't a thing, and it wasn't. And then, you know, the thought also occurred to me, at no point in time have I ever seen Frankenstein with a good haircut. He just got plopped with some dead dude's hair. And I was like, you know, if I can make Frankenstein look good, I can make anybody look good.
That's fucking... I like that. I really do like that. Because, like, the way I kind of... I don't know if I ever... I think I've talked about it a little bit, but, like, the way I kind of came with the Carol Connections kind of... I mean, it's kind of obvious. I mean, my last name is fucking Carol, so there's one. And then connection. I'm really big on building that personal connection with people, and, like... That's what I really wanted to do in the podcast, was build that relationship and enhance that relationship with people, is like to sit down face to face, to look you in the eye as you're telling me your life story, and me flowing with you, telling bits and pieces of my life, and like really trying to figure out what's going on, and like try to get that real, like we said earlier, that understanding. Like, it's so valuable, which, because that understanding builds that connection. Because if you don't have that connection, it doesn't matter if it's like a family relationship, an intimate relationship, or just like friendships. If you don't have that connection with people, it's just going to be dry and pointless. There's going to be no context to that relationship, or that whatever that part of your life is with that person. There's nothing to that. So if you don't have that, it's nothing. Like, connection is everything. And like, people, I don't know if people get that now, and like, we're so disconnected in a world that's so connected, which is like crazy to even think about. Like, the fact that we can talk to people literally in different countries at the split of a second, but we don't even know what our fucking neighbors are going through, and they could be going through the worst, like, cancer treatment or depression or whatever, and we don't even fucking know, and they're our neighbor. Like, blows my mind. And that ties back to the podcast, and what I want to do is like, talk to people who are in my life, and people who I've had people reach out who I don't even know through social media, who've just seen my page and like, hey, I would love to like try to like come onto your podcast and do something. I did one with Isaiah Sanchez a few episodes ago. Never met the kid, and I met him. He reached out because he heard I did an episode with Eric Lazito. That was like episode one, first one I did, and they worked together. And he liked the episode. He listened to a few other episodes and reached out because he wanted to share his story with me, and like become really good friends, and like, he really opened up on the podcast, and that was amazing. And like, that part, that episode really was like, damn, I'm kind of fucking doing something here. Like, this is like, things are clicking for me now. Like, it makes sense. Like, people want to connect with other people in a genuine way, like we're doing. So it's super important to like sit down and have a conversation. And like, that ties back towards the brand that I'm building and relating to you and how you talk about your brand. Like, brand is such an important thing, and especially in our careers. Like, it's how you stand out from other people. So it's super important. And tying this towards, we want to talk about a little bit your goals and your aspirations going forward too. So do you want to touch a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I'm planning on, you know, opening up a barber studio. I want it to be just a one-man thing because, like you were talking about connections, I want to be able to personally connect with each and every one of my clients, and I want them to come to my spot knowing that they have a safe place to go where they can just be themselves. You know, I don't judge anybody for what they do, because like, you know, a lot of your listeners have already heard a lot of my dirty laundry. And, you know, so to judge anybody, I guess, would be extremely selfish and ungrateful of all the lessons I've learned. So, you know, I'm going to open up the studio, you know, have big name barbers come down and, you know, do a video at my studio about a haircut, and then maybe teach me about a haircut, and hopefully get to connect with them. And, you know, I'm planning on writing a book for the foster kids, because I don't feel like there's a lot of books or anything out there that kind of really hones in on what it's like to be a foster kid. You know, you got the foster workers and you got, you know, the families and the parents, but you don't really have anything from a kid's point of view. And a lot of the kids basically in foster care have like a go fuck yourself type of attitude. Like, I don't need you. You know, I didn't need my parents. I don't need you. You know, that's kind of the attitude they have until they kind of learn what situation they're truly in. So, you know, my book would kind of outline my life and the things I've learned from foster care and the things I've seen from a foster kid point of view. And it's going to be named Go Foster Yourself, because like I said, they got a go fuck yourself type attitude. So I want to kind of give them a go fuck yourself attitude back, because that's what they're really going to respond to. And, you know, kind of just, you know, it's a lot about shock value. You know, that's what people go for. That's why you got clickbait nowadays. Get a little bit of shock value, but as long as you have some substance behind that, people will resonate with it. And I'll be real with you. I'm not going to sell my book. It's going out for free to, and you know, anybody who wants the orders to DCFs. You know, I'm going to put in bulk orders, and you know, I'll have to put a lot from my pocket into it just so I can give these books out for free. But I think it's going to be absolutely worth it, because I don't think anybody needs to pay for what I have to say, because what I have to say has come from life, has come from people that I've been around. And you know, I didn't pay for that. You know, I learned it for free. So I don't feel like it would be, you know, I feel like it would be disingenuous to not, you know, give that out for free.
I like the way you're saying that too, and you're putting out that message, because the experience that you've gone through, you don't want to charge that. Like, you've gone through it for free, so like you want to give that back to them, so they could. It also could help those kids too to hear that point of view, especially at that point in your life, because like, obviously, I don't know the context, and you don't have to really explain too much of the context of the book, which you want to go forward with it. But obviously, I'm assuming there's going to be life stories and experiences that you've gone through and things that you've dealt with and overcame. So, like, as someone who could be in foster care to read that at that point in their lives could be fucking life-changing for them. And that is so important. And that really ties back to the concept of a podcast like this, is sharing life stories, because you never know who's going to hear this episode and resonate with it and be like, damn, that makes so much sense to me. Or someone who could be in foster care right now could just stumble upon this episode and boom, they reach out to you and you build a relationship with that person. Like, there's so many different things that could happen just by putting this public and like sharing your life story out there. Like, that's why I love doing this. I love hearing these different stories, because like, this is episode 27, like 20 fucking 7. Like, I never even thought I'd make it past, like, fucking 2 or 3. I thought I was going to just quit. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm sick of doing this. I don't want to do this. I'm scared. Like,
well, I'm glad you didn't. I probably wouldn't be here if you quit after number 3.
Well, I appreciate you wanting to do this, too, because we've had this conversation before. Like, and it was just a matter of time. And, like, I'm glad that we were able to do this in fucking a world pandemic. We're fucking able to sit down and, like, actually have a legitimate conversation about fucking life, dude. Like, it's, I love this shit. Like, this is the shit that I'm passionate about. This is the shit that gets me going.
You can hear it.
Like, when I wake up every day, like, I look at my podcast. I look at the way I want to do this. Like, when I talk to my life coach, I talk about trying to help people. And, like, she even says, like, one of the things that she hears in my voice is the passion in trying to help people. And, like, I just want people to be better, man. Like, I just want people to have the opportunity to be the best possible version of themselves. And that starts with me being that, too. And I recognize that. So if I could show myself, because like I said, I'm in therapy. I'm working with a life coach. I've been constantly traveling in life, and I'm finally in a place where now I'm building a personal brand. Like, there's been so much change going on in my life where I'm trying to adjust and like cope with these different things and cope with things of the past and plan towards the future and acknowledging things that have gone on in my life, looking forward. Like, if I can do that for myself, I could try to be that positive light for someone else, and that is so important to me. And I think tying back to your book and what you want to do with that, I think that'd be fucking awesome. And I would support that 100%. I would promote that on this podcast like 10 times over. And we'll definitely have a fucking second episode, because we didn't even touch upon like half the shit that we want to touch upon in this episode. But as we are approaching the end of the podcast, I usually ask a question to wrap it up, which is tied to passions, but is there anything that you wanted to touch upon specifically not relating to passions before we start wrapping up? It can be fucking anything too.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you need a haircut, you know, I work at Cornerstone Barbershop, 290 Wood Street, Bristol, Rhode Island. But I mean, other than that, I would just say that, you know, you should never, you know, I'm not a very religious person, but you know, even in the Bible, it says you shouldn't have idols. You should only look to that one true God. But I would, to put it in worldly terms, I would say that you should look to the person that you want to be, the person that you would aspire to be, the best you, because if you look to other people, I mean, you're just going to fall flat on your face when they do. You know, if you looked to Robert Downey Jr. when, you know, when he was younger, and you're like, man, I want to be like Robert Downey Jr. And then he goes to prison and you're like, ah, shit. Like, you know, maybe I shouldn't be like him. You know, that's what I ran into while I was looking at all these movies. I was like, man, this person's really cool. I want to be like him. So I would start to emulate his behavior. But on top of that, I was emulating his bad behaviors, you know? So, I mean, you should really only look to your, like, the gold standard you. And you should strive to be that. And if something's not in correlation with that, whether it be somebody that you like and they're not going in that same direction, or, you know, don't deal with that anymore. Just do what you need to do while you can. And, I mean, that's the only thing that's going to get you to the best you. And, you know, fortunately enough for me, the only thing to get me to the best me was being a great father. And I didn't even realize that until I was a father. But it was me trying to overcome my own dad and my own past. And, you know, fortunately enough, you know, that was what took to, you know, open my eyes. And, you know, I'm glad it happened to me. You know, I wasn't ready for it. Nobody really is. But, you know, now that it's happened, I wouldn't ask for anything different. I wouldn't be single. I wouldn't be not a father. You know, I wouldn't be any of those things. You know, I wouldn't be not a barber. I couldn't ask for any other job. I couldn't ask for any other kids. I couldn't ask for any other wife. Like, where I'm at right now is awesome. And I just hope that I can impart all the things I've learned to my own kids without getting into my own selfish, you know, behaviors and thoughts. And, you know, that's what I strive for every day, is to be the best husband, father, and barber I could possibly be.
That's well said and amazing, man. Amazing. So as we begin to wrap up, I do end this podcast with the same question I ask everybody. And that is tied to passion, which is, what would your advice be to someone who is pursuing their passion?
You're never too young or too old. A lot of people are like, you know, I've already gone this far down this road, and, you know, I'm not going to go chase after whatever I want to chase after. You know, if you're in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, if you're 10, it doesn't matter. You know, there's an 8-year-old kid making millions of dollars right now by opening toys. Like, don't ever think you're too young or too old to follow a passion, or don't think you're already too far in a career to follow another passion. If you're passionate about it, you'll be successful in it. But, you know, also don't think that you're passionate about something because you get excited about it. Excitement and passion are not the same things. You know, I get excited over, you know, hot women walking by me, but I'm passionate about my wife. You know, those are two completely separate things. And, you know, passion is going to get you to success. Excitement will not. Motivation is fleeting. Inspiration is not.
Well fucking said, dude. This has been a fantastic episode, and I appreciate you really coming on here and being vulnerable as fuck. A lot of people can't do that. A lot of people come on here and they're a little nervous, but you fucking hit this shit right off the bat, and, like, you really opened up, and I really appreciate that. And we'll definitely have a second episode coming in the future. So, just again, thank you. Really appreciate that.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on. I definitely appreciate getting to tell my story to your audience. And, you know, I hope they resonate, and, you know, hope they're happy to have me back when I come back.
Yeah, so basically, if anyone has to connect with you or reach out to you or wants to get a haircut, I will definitely recommend him to you, and I'll tag you in all my posts that I make. But I'll give my little spiel now. So if you like the podcast, please rate, review, share, subscribe, all that fun stuff. And if you want, like I said, if you want to get in contact with me or Steve, like, just hit my DMs, hit his DMs. We're always open to have a conversation. But you can check this episode out or other episodes out at thecarolconnection.simplecast.com. Also available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all those major listening platforms. So until next time, guys, bye.